All right, welcome to your personalized deep dive. We're going to help you fast track your journey from software developer to architect. Think of it as like a cheat sheet for architect level thinking, distilled from 8 books recommended by a seasoned pro in the field.
Yeah, we're diving into an article by Roshan Gavandi. He's a software architect who's curated this awesome reading list, not just for technical skills, but for the whole architect mindset.
And you know me. I always gravitate to the juicy bits. Right off the bat, Gavandi talks about how moving into an architect role, it isn't just a career change, it's a mindset shift. He says architects need to balance technical excellence with strategic thinking. So what exactly does that mean to you?
It's fascinating to me is that word balance. You know, it's not enough to be a coding rock star anymore. Architects need to lead teams. They need to make big picture decisions and understand how the tech fits into the business goals and user needs. They're like the conductors of an orchestra, bringing all the different instruments together to create a harmonious masterpiece.
So less writing code, more like designing symphonies.
Precisely. Imagine this. A developer is like a master craftsperson, meticulously building each component. The architect is the one with a grand vision, the blueprint for how all those components fit together to create a functional and beautiful structure.
All right, I'm sold on the architect mindset thing. Now let's crack open these books. First up is Rework.
Yes, and Gavandi highlights how Rework champions simplicity in getting things done. You know, it's about cutting through the noise and focusing on what truly delivers value. He even credits this book with helping him escape the over-engineering trap early in his career.
That's a trap I think many of us fall into as developers. But for an architect who's making decisions that impact entire systems, that could be disastrous, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Architects can't afford to get bogged down in unnecessary complexity. They need to be laser-focused on building what matters. One concept from Rework that really resonated with Gavandi is the minimum viable product, or MVP. Instead of shooting for a perfect system right out of the gate, you build the bare minimum that works, get it in front of users, and iterate based on real-world feedback.
So it's kind of like dipping your toes in the water before taking the plunge. It seems like that could save a ton of time and headaches down the road. Speaking of mindsets, up next we have Mindset by Carol Dweck.
This one's all about the power of, well, your mindset. Dweck dives into the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And for someone stepping into a leadership role like a software architect, this is crucial. Remember when you were learning to code, hitting those walls thinking, I'm just not cut out for this?
Ugh, yes. I've definitely had those moments.
That's the fixed mindset talking. But a growth mindset says, I might not get this yet, but I can learn, practice, and improve. It's about embracing challenges as opportunities to grow.
And let's be real, in tech, things are constantly changing. New languages, new frameworks, it's a whirlwind. So a growth mindset isn't just helpful, it's essential, right?
Absolutely. You need to be comfortable with constantly learning, adapting, and expanding your skill set. What's cutting edge today might be outdated tomorrow. And speaking of embracing challenges, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell is next on the list.
This one explores the idea that success isn't just about hard work, but also timing and opportunity. Gladwell highlights how some of the most successful people were simply in the right place at the right time. Now, I know we can't control every opportunity that comes our way, but as a developer transitioned to architect, how can you proactively seek them out and position yourself for growth?
That's a great question. Networking is key. Going to conferences, joining online communities, connecting with folks in the field, and finding a mentor, someone who can open doors and guide you, is invaluable. It's about being visible and putting yourself out there. And of course, staying on top of those emerging tech trends so you're ready when the next wave hits.
It's like creating your own luck by being prepared. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That's a classic, isn't it?
It is. This one emphasizes setting crystal clear goals, having a plan of attack, not just wishing on a star. Gavandi talks about how he used this book to create a roadmap for becoming a software architect, breaking down those big audacious goals into smaller, manageable steps.
So let's say your goal is to become a master of cloud architecture. That's a pretty massive field, right?
Yeah.
How can you use the think and grow rich approach to break it down into those bite-sized steps?
Instead of getting overwhelmed by the sheer vastness of cloud architecture, start by learning the fundamentals of a specific platform like Azure or AWS. Then you can dive deeper into particular services like serverless computing or containerization. Each step, each new skill you master, brings you closer to that ultimate goal.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all ties together. You've got the big picture thinking, the growth mindset, and then the laser focus on specific goals. Up next, we've got Atomic Habits.
Ah, yes. James Clear in his brilliant book on the power of small, consistent habits for achieving big results. I think everyone can relate to this. We all know we should be exercising daily, eating healthy, but it's those tiny daily choices that truly add up over time.
And it's like that with learning too, right? Crimming for a certification might get you the badge, but it's consistent daily learning that truly solidifies those skills. How does Govandi apply this to becoming a software architect?
He talks about setting aside time each day for small but impactful actions, like reading technical articles, practicing design patterns, or even just playing around with a new technology for a few minutes. It's about those consistent, bite-sized efforts that compound over time. Imagine spending just 15 minutes a day reading about microservices architecture. Over a year, that's over 90 hours of learning.
Wow, that really puts it into perspective. It's not about massive efforts. It's about those tiny habits that over time make a huge difference.
Exactly. And the best part, it doesn't feel overwhelming because it's just a small chunk of time each day. Speaking of small but impactful, let's move on to how to talk to anyone. Now, why would a book on communication be so important for a software architect?
Yeah, you'd think being a technical whiz would be enough, right? What's a big deal about communication skills?
Well, think about it. As an architect, you're constantly interacting with different people. Mm-hmm. You've got your development team who needs to understand your technical vision. Then there are stakeholders who need to be convinced your design is the best solution. And sometimes you might even have to explain complex technical concepts to clients who aren't very tech savvy.
So it's not just about building great systems. It's about getting everyone on board with your ideas and making sure they understand what you're doing.
Precisely. Govandi gives a great example from the book about using analogies to explain complex technical things to non-technical folks. Say you're talking to a stakeholder about a new API you're designing. Instead of bombarding them with jargon, you could use an analogy they can relate to, like comparing the API to a waiter who takes orders from customers and delivers them to the kitchen.
That's a great way to break it down and make it understandable. Speaking of being indispensable, next on the list is Linchpin. What's that all about?
This book by Seth Godin is all about becoming that go-to person, the one everyone relies on, what he calls a linchpin. Govandi realized early on that to truly stand out as a software architect, technical skills weren't enough. He needed to be a problem solver, a creative thinker, someone who takes initiative and goes above and beyond.
So what does it take to become a linchpin software architect?
It's about thinking beyond the code, proactively identifying potential problems and coming up with solutions before they become major headaches. Taking ownership of projects and driving them forward with passion and vision. Basically being a leader, not just a coder.
Okay, I'm loving these insights. Now the last book on this list, Sapiens. That one seems a little out of left field. What's a book about the history of humankind doing on a software architect's reading list?
Right, it's not your typical tech book. But Govandi draws a fascinating parallel between Yuval Noah Harari's insights about shared beliefs and the importance of building trust in a strong culture within a development team. He's saying that just as shared beliefs have united people throughout history, a development team thrives when everyone is aligned on a common purpose and trusts each other's expertise. As an architect, you play a key role in fostering that sense of unity.
Wait, so you're saying that understanding how humans have collaborated throughout history can actually give you insights into building a more effective dev team?
Exactly. Think about it. Imagine a team where everyone believes in the project, trusts each other's expertise, and is working towards a shared goal. That team is going to be way more effective than one where everyone's just going through the motions.
This is blowing my mind. I never thought I'd see Sapiens on a software architect's reading list, but it totally makes sense.
And that's one of the things that makes Govandi's list so brilliant. He's encouraging us to think outside the box, to draw inspiration from unexpected sources. He's reminding us that becoming a software architect isn't just about mastering technical skills. It's about expanding your worldview and developing a deep understanding of human behavior.
I love that. And I have a feeling this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive, exploring some really insightful concepts from these books.
We've laid a solid foundation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But there's still so much more to uncover. In the next part, we'll delve deeper into the practical side of things, exploring how these ideas can be applied in the real world of software development.
I can't wait. Until then, why don't you, our listener, take some time to reflect on what's resonated with you so far. Which of these books has sparked your curiosity the most? And remember, even just picking up one of these and diving deeper could be a game changer for your career. We'll be back soon with more insights from Govandi's list. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to your personalized deep dive. We're picking up right where we left off, exploring those 8 books handpicked by Roshan Gavandi for software developers making that leap to the architect role.
And last we left off, we were discussing how understanding human history and shared belief systems, as explored in Sapiens, can actually help you build a more effective development team.
It's fascinating, right? It's like, who knew that ancient history could hold the key to building a kick-ass software team? But it makes sense. When everyone's on the same page, believes in the project, trusts each other, that's when the magic happens. But let's shift gears a bit. We've talked a lot about the mindset of a software architect, but what about the actual tools in the toolbox? What kind of technical know-how do you need to design and build these complex systems?
That's where those super practical, tech-heavy books on Gavandi's list come in. He recommends a mix of resources that cover different aspects of software architecture, kind of like a multivitamin for your architect brain.
Okay, give me an example. What's one of those must-read tech books?
One that really stands out is Domain-Driven Design, distilled by Von Vernon. This one dives deep into the principles of domain-driven design, or DDD for those in the know.
DDD. Okay, for those of us who haven't encountered that yet, what's the elevator pitch?
Think of it this way. DDD is all about making sure your software design perfectly mirrors the business domain you're working in. It's like building a custom-fit suit, where every line of code reflects the core concepts and processes of the business.
So it's not just about writing code that works, it's about writing code that understands the real-world problem you're solving.
Exactly. And for architects, this is crucial. They need to make sure the systems they design aren't just technically sound, but also meet the specific needs of the business. It's like speaking the same language, ensuring that everyone from developers to stakeholders is on the same page.
DDD sounds incredibly powerful for creating software that's both robust and relevant. Are there any real-world examples of how DDD has helped architects create better systems?
Gavandi himself shares how DDD has been a game changer for him. He talks about how it's helped him design systems that are more maintainable, scalable, and adaptable. Imagine you're building a complex e-commerce system. DDD helps you model that system by mapping code structures to real-world entities like customers' products and orders. It's like creating a blueprint that everyone can understand, making collaboration and future development much smoother.
Okay, so DDD is one piece of the puzzle. What other technical books does Gavandi recommend?
Another one that's essential reading these days is Building Microservices by Sam Newman. This book is all about, you guessed it, microservices architecture.
Microservices seem to be the talk of the town in the tech world. What's all the hype about?
It's not just hype. It's a revolution in software design. Microservices architecture is all about breaking down those big monolithic applications into smaller, independent services. Think of it like a well-organized city, with each district responsible for its own specific functions.
That sounds intriguing. But how does breaking a system into microservices actually make things easier to manage? Wouldn't that just create a whole bunch of mini problems to solve?
It's quite the opposite, actually. Microservices make your system more flexible and scalable. Let's say you need to update one part of the system. With a monolithic architecture, you'd have to redeploy the entire application, which can be a huge pain. But with microservices, you can update just that one service without affecting the rest. It's like swapping out a single Lego brick instead of rebuilding the whole model. And when it comes to scaling, you can easily beef up individual services based on demand. Instead of scaling the entire application, it's much more efficient.
So it's kind of like having a team of specialists, each focused on their own area of expertise, instead of one giant team trying to do everything at once.
Exactly. And just like a specialized team, microservices are designed to be resilient and fault tolerant. If one service goes down, it doesn't bring the entire system crashing down with it. The rest can keep humming along, minimizing disruption.
So it's like having a safety net built right into your system.
You got it. Building microservices provides a roadmap for designing, implementing, and managing these systems effectively, giving you the confidence to navigate this exciting new architectural landscape.
Okay, DDD and microservices, those are some serious technical chops. But all this talk about these books has got me thinking. What are some of the real-world challenges architects face on a daily basis? What keeps them up at night?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is managing complexity. Software systems are becoming increasingly intricate, with multiple layers, dependencies, and integrations. It's like trying to conduct an orchestra where each musician is playing a different tune. Architects need to understand how all those different pieces fit together and work as a cohesive whole, even when the music is constantly changing.
Wow, that sounds incredibly challenging.
It is. And on top of that, they need to be able to anticipate potential problems before they arise, make tough decisions about trade-offs, and clearly communicate their vision to both technical and non-technical stakeholders. It's a high-wire act that requires a unique blend of technical expertise, communication skills, and strategic thinking.
So what other challenges keep software architects up at night? Give me the inside scoop.
Performance optimization is a big one. As systems grow and handle more data, it's crucial to ensure they remain fast and responsive. Imagine you're building a platform for a financial institution. Every millisecond of delay can cost millions. Architects need to identify bottlenecks, optimize code, and leverage caching mechanisms to keep things running smoothly.
It's like being a race car mechanic, constantly fine-tuning the engine for maximum performance.
Exactly. And then there's security. With cyber attacks becoming increasingly sophisticated, designing systems that are secure from the ground up is paramount. It's about protecting sensitive data, preventing unauthorized access, and staying one step ahead of the bad guys.
So not only do they have to build a high-performance machine, they have to build a fortress around it as well.
Precisely. Architects need to be well-versed in security best practices, implement robust authentication and authorization mechanisms, and constantly stay updated on the latest threats and vulnerabilities.
It sounds like being a software architect is a never-ending learning journey, always adapting and evolving.
It absolutely is. And that's why having that growth mindset we talked about earlier is so crucial in this role. You need to be comfortable embracing new technologies, experimenting, and continuously expanding your knowledge base.
So they're not just architects, they're lifelong learners, always curious, always pushing the boundaries.
Exactly. And that's what makes this role so exciting. You're on the cutting edge, solving complex problems and shaping the future of technology.
Okay, we've talked about the mindset, the technical chops and the challenges, but what about the rewards? What makes all this hard work worth it?
One of the biggest rewards is seeing your vision come to life. You take an idea from concept to reality. Designing and building systems that solve real-world problems and have a tangible impact on people's lives. Imagine designing a healthcare platform that helps doctors diagnose diseases more accurately, or an educational app that empowers students in underserved communities. It's about making a difference.
That must be incredibly fulfilling, knowing that your work is making a real difference in the world. Are there any other perks to this architect gig?
Absolutely. You get to collaborate with brilliant minds, tackle challenging projects, and constantly push the boundaries of what's possible with technology. It's like being a kid in a giant playground. But instead of swings and slides, you have code algorithms and cloud infrastructure.
Okay, you've officially got me hooked. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting their journey to becoming a software architect?
First and foremost, embrace that growth mindset we talked about earlier. Be insatiably curious, eager to learn. And don't be afraid to stumble along the way. Remember, those stumbles are just stepping stones to success.
That's great advice. What else should aspiring architects be doing to prepare for this role?
Find a mentor who can guide you and share their experiences, someone who's been there, done that, and can offer valuable insights. Network with other architects, go to conferences, and devour everything you can about software design and architecture. Surround yourself with brilliant minds and soak up all that knowledge.
So it's about building a network of support and immersing yourself in the world of software architecture.
Exactly. And don't forget to enjoy the ride. This is an incredibly exciting field to be in, where the possibilities are truly endless.
You've definitely painted a vivid picture of what it takes to be a successful software architect. We've explored the mindset, the skills, the challenges, and the rewards, but I have a feeling we've only just scratched the surface.
We've laid a solid foundation, but there's so much more to explore. In the final part of our deep dive, we'll shift our focus to the practical steps our listener can take to put all this knowledge into action. We'll talk about how to translate these concepts into real-world skills and build a career that's both fulfilling and impactful.
I can't wait to dive into that. But before we continue, I want to encourage you, our listener, to take a moment and reflect on everything we've discussed so far. What's resonated with you the most? What questions have popped up in your mind? And most importantly, what are you excited to learn more about as you continue on your journey to becoming a software architect? We'll be back soon with the final part of our deep dive. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the final part of our Software Architect Deep Dive. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? We've explored the books recommended by Roshan Gavandi, uncovering the secrets to not just the skills, but the whole architect mindset.
Absolutely. We've covered a lot of ground. From the importance of a growth mindset and clear goals to the power of communication, teamwork, and even drawing inspiration from human history.
It's like we've been given a treasure map to becoming a successful software architect, but now we need to figure out how to actually use it. We understand the what and the why, but now it's time to tackle the how. What are some tangible steps our listener can take to start putting all this incredible knowledge into practice?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Well, one of the most crucial things is to build a rock-solid foundation in software design principles. Think of it as laying the groundwork for your architectural masterpiece.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me. What does building that foundation actually involve?
It means understanding the nuts and bolts of software design. Things like design patterns, solid principles, and different architectural styles. These are the building blocks that separate a good developer from a great architect.
I'll admit those sound a bit intimidating. Any tips on how to conquer those concepts without getting overwhelmed?
Don't worry, you don't need to become a design guru overnight. There are tons of fantastic resources out there, both online and offline. You can find courses, tutorials, books, even entire communities dedicated to software design. It's like having a whole team of mentors at your fingertips.
So it's about being proactive, seeking out those resources, and diving in headfirst. But what about actually putting those concepts into practice?
That's where the real fun begins. Start experimenting. Play around with different design patterns. Build small projects that challenge you to think like an architect. And don't be afraid to get feedback from more experienced developers. Think of it as a design critique. But for your code?
So it's learning by doing, not just passively absorbing information. It's like taking those architectural blueprints and actually building something tangible. What else can our listener do to prepare for this exciting transition?
Another critical step is to start seeing systems from a holistic perspective. It's like taking a step back and appreciating the entire landscape instead of focusing on a single tree.
Okay, paint me a picture. What does it mean to think holistically about systems?
It's about considering not just the technical nitty-gritty, but also the business needs, the user experience, and the overall impact on the organization. It's like wearing different hats, understanding how all the pieces fit together to create a harmonious whole.
So it's not just about building a technically brilliant system. It's about making sure it actually solves the problem, delights the user, and aligns with the big picture goals of the organization. That's a lot to juggle.
It is, but that's what separates a truly great architect from someone who just writes code. And don't worry, this kind of holistic thinking can be developed over time. Through practice mentorship and being exposed to different parts of the software development lifecycle, you'll start to see the bigger picture with more clarity.
This is all making sense now. Building that solid foundation in design principles, developing that holistic perspective, it's all starting to click. Is there anything else our listeners should be focusing on as they prepare for this architect role?
There's one more crucial ingredient in the recipe for software architect success, and it might surprise you.
Oh, I love surprises. Lay it on me.
Leadership.
Wait, leadership. I thought architects were primarily technical experts. What's leadership got to do with it?
You're right. Technical expertise is essential. But think about it. Architects often lead teams of developers. They make crucial technical decisions that shape the direction of projects. They influence stakeholders, advocate for their vision, and rally everyone around a common goal. They're not just building systems, they're leading the charge.
So it's not just about writing elegant code, it's about inspiring and motivating others to create something incredible.
Precisely. They need to communicate their vision, effectively build consensus, resolve conflicts, and empower their teams to do their best work. It's about being a guide, a mentor, and a champion for their team.
Okay, I'm officially adding leadership to my software architect checklist. Any practical advice for our listener on how to develop those leadership skills?
Start by stepping up in your current role. Volunteer to lead a small project. Mentor a junior developer. Present your work to stakeholders. These small acts of leadership will build your confidence and give you valuable experience.
It's like flexing those leadership muscles. Getting comfortable with taking charge and guiding others.
Exactly. And there are plenty of ways to supplement that real-world experience. Read books, take courses, or attend workshops on leadership and communication. Learn from the masters, both in the tech world and beyond.
This has been an eye-opening deep dive, to say the least. We've covered so much ground, from the mindset and technical skills of a software architect to the importance of holistic thinking and leadership. I feel like we've given our listener a solid roadmap for this exciting journey.
We've definitely equipped them with the tools and knowledge to start building their own path to success. But it's important to remember that becoming a software architect isn't about reaching a final destination. It's about embracing the journey.
What do you mean by that?
It's a continuous process of learning, growing, and adapting. There will always be new technologies to master, new challenges to overcome, and new ways to refine your craft.
So it's not about reaching some mythical end goal. It's about constantly evolving and pushing your own boundaries.
Exactly. And that's what makes this field so incredibly rewarding. You're always on the cutting edge, solving complex problems and shaping the future of technology. And the learning never stops.
I love that. It's like being a lifelong explorer, always seeking new knowledge and pushing the limits of what's possible. I'm feeling incredibly inspired, and I'm sure our listener is too.
I hope so. And to our listener, I want to say this. Becoming a software architect is a challenging but incredibly rewarding journey. Embrace the challenges, celebrate the victories, and never stop learning.
This has been an amazing deep dive. Thank you for joining us as we explored the world of software architecture through the lens of Roshan Gavandi's insightful reading list.
It's been a pleasure sharing these insights with you.
And to our listener, we wish you the best of luck on your path to becoming a software architect. Remember, the future of technology is in your hands.
And with that, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep building amazing things.